You got your Bibles, let's turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. You know, we've been focusing this year on soul winning and sharing our faith. To start off with just a simple tract, sharing a tract, handing it out to someone, and then some have said of how they've been able to go one-on-one with another person. And I came across this in my reading a few weeks ago, and it just really stuck out to me that there is a whole lot more to witnessing than just giving a tract or even talking one-on-one with a person, those that we come across. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 10. You know, as you read Scripture, and this is something I've just found true over the years, when you read a book, not just a book out of the Bible, but any type of a book, and if you read series of books by the same author, you begin learning what the heartbeat of that author is like. You start understanding what that author thinks about things, even though they may never mention such a subject in one of their books, or maybe even come across it in a writing or anywhere else. But you start to realize what they think about things just by reading vast amounts of their writings. And it's the same thing with Scripture. God doesn't necessarily have to spell something out clearly to you. If you're looking for things black and white, I've got to have it black and white, you may not necessarily find it. But you may find it in another sense by simply reading and studying Scripture in many other topics and many other areas. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 10. Wherefore, in time past, now let's jump down to verse 11. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. Hey, this world is not our home. We're just passing through. Set your affection on things above, not on things of this earth. We're strangers and pilgrims here. When we drive our stakes down too far, we often run into a lot of trouble. Because those things are ours. They're mine. No, they're not. Get your mind off of these things that are so temporal that in the light of eternity, it means absolutely nothing. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust. I don't know about you, but my flesh has a lot of lust in it. Besides lust, there's a lot of anger in there. Besides anger and lust, there are so many other things in my flesh. You know, the devil gets blamed for a lot of things that he doesn't do. You tell a lie. Oh, the devil made me do that. No, he didn't. That's your stinking, rotten flesh. The same as I've got. Don't go around blaming the devil for things he didn't do. All right? You got personal responsibility, too. Abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. And boy, isn't it a battle. Right. Having your conversation honest. Conversation meaning your manner of life, how you order your life, the places you go, the things you say, the things you do. Your conversation, how you live your life honest among the Gentiles. That means among the rest of the world. That means out here among in your job, in your workplace, not just here in church. Having the way you order your life honest among the Gentiles, the unbelievers, those that are around you, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers. They do that, don't they? You know, they can be talking about you behind your back, or you may not even be around. And it sure made great conversation material because the flesh loves to feed on all that negative stuff. But then when they both go their ways, they know in their minds, hopefully they know in their minds, that, you know, that just really isn't the way he is. That was just something that made us feel good to talk about him because he does really live a lot better than we do, and it makes us feel better when we talk about him. Having your conversation ordered, your way of life ordered in such a way that if they speak against you as an evildoer, they part their ways knowing that that's really not the whole story. You might all may not believe this, but I found out Pastor Reg is a sinner. He's a sinner. He's chief among sinners. You know, and he says he's a yo-yo. He has his days up and down, up and down. He does good, he does bad, above the snake line, down the pit. If he's a yo-yo, I'm a yo-yo on a trampoline, okay? I think I do it a lot worse. But listen, the point is, having your conversation right as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold. You didn't just do it off in a closet somewhere, but you actually, as you're living among them, doing good works, we'll get into that in just a minute, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. That doesn't mean they went into church and sang glory to His name. It doesn't mean that at all. What that means, glorify God in the day of visitation, what does that mean? It means they got saved. They got saved because of the way that you ordered your life and the good works that they beheld you to do. I think we can draw a conclusion here that good works, as we all know, has nothing to do with your salvation, but it could have everything to do with someone else's. Order your conversation. Live your life in such a way that even though they may talk about some of these bad things you've done, they know it's not the pattern. And when God comes and visits them in the day of visitation, they get saved because of the way you lived your life. What a testimony you can have to others. Now, all right, he gives us some ways down below here of how we can live our life, live our conversation right. Submit yourselves to every ordinance of man. Oh, I love this verse, don't you all? That means obey the law, right? That's what that means. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man, regardless of how stupid it may be. There are some really dumb laws out there, aren't there? There are some very stupid laws out there. But I'm the kind of guy, I don't know about some of you all, but I'm the kind of guy that if you tell me I can't do something, I've got just enough orneriness in me that if somebody that made that law, and I see no practical reason for it, no personal protection, but they only made a dumb law for their benefit, I just might try to do it because I'm ornery, maybe, for some reason. And don't tell me I can't take my assault rifle, file off the pin, file off the catch inside of it, and turn it into an automatic weapon. Don't tell me I can't do that. It's bad when you can just throw out 30 rounds in 6 seconds, okay? That's cool if you've never done it, okay? It's not illegal to own a machine gun, as long as it's registered and you paid the taxes on it. But it's not right if you do go illegally do that. Submit yourself to every ordinance of man, whether it be a tax law. You know, I don't recommend that you necessarily try to find the loopholes that are there, but don't sway the facts one way or the other so you can fit into it. If you've got to structure your business or the way that you do business a little bit different so you can save on taxes, great, do it. That's what the law is for. But don't lie about it either. Even if it's tax, hey, Jesus paid taxes. And don't think for a minute that the Roman taxes were not corrupt. I bet you they probably were. And by the way, our taxes here, I've got it finally figured out. Our taxes here are nothing more than our preparation for heaven. Because there, the tax rate is 100%. Every reward that you get down here, guess what? You're going to give every bit of it to the government up there. You're going to cast every crown you get at Christ's feet. He's going to take every bit of it. The only difference is we love that government, don't we? We don't love the one we've necessarily got. Even if it's a tax law. Having a conversation honest among the Gentiles, they behold your good works. Here are some of them. Submit yourselves to the ordinance of man. For the Lord's sake, this is why you do it. Don't go 70 miles an hour, 80 miles an hour out here on the highway because it's 3 o'clock in the morning, nobody else is out, and it's safe to do, and I got to get home. God says, don't roll through the stoplight, don't through the stop sign because of my sake. Would you do it? Would you not do it for me, he says? I don't care if there's not a policeman out there that's going to see you. Do it for me. Obey for God's sake. I like this passage of Scripture, don't you? Let's obey the law just because it's God's sake. I don't like some of these laws, but let's do it for the Lord's sake. Remember, order your conversation aright so that those who see it may possibly get saved. That's your greatest testimony. Whether it be to the king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. We could really debate that. I'm not going to get into that. For so is the will of God that with well-doing you put to silence the ignorance of foolish men. As free and not using your cloak, the liberty for a cloak of maliciousness. Don't use the liberty that you have in Christ to cover over all the wrongdoing that you want to do. There's an excuse that I've heard. Hey, we don't live in a perfect world. That's true, but don't use that as an excuse to willfully go do something that is wrong. Use it rather as the means, to find the means to forgive somebody who has done wrong, not use it to go do it yourself. They aren't perfect. We don't live in a perfect world. He messed up. Forgive him. That doesn't mean you can go do it. That excuse is used way too many times. For so is the will of God, you put it on the sea, using your cloak of maliciousness, but as the servants of God, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. Servants, be subject to your masters with all fear, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the froward. Hey, it's easy to love somebody that loves you. But Terry really brought it out good here a few weeks ago. We want to be conquerors without anything to conquer. We want to be overcomers without overcoming anything. We want to live on the mountaintop without ever having climbing to the top of the mountain. You know, to every mountaintop, there's two valleys. One you just came from and one you're fixing to go into. It's easy to love those that are lovable. I don't know if many of you traveled a whole lot, but I get on the airplane, I've got my ticket. It says row 23A. All right, so here we go, row 23A, row 23A, row 23A. Whoa, open, all three seats. I get the window seat. I sit over there next to the side there and stow my luggage, and I sit down, and then people, passengers, are just finding their seats and going on. And after a while, it dwindles down. I start feeling pretty good about myself. This whole row is open. Maybe I'm going to get this whole flight to myself. I've been there before. And you look up. There she comes. Her name is Bertha. She has three zip codes all to herself. Her shirt is orange, has orange smears on it from cheese curls from little fingers. She's dragging two little brats by the ear. And they're screaming and she's yelling at them. Is this row 23? No, ma'am, row 23 is across the aisle. Oh, she sits down next to you. The kids sit over there, snotty-nosed kids. Hey, you going to love her? You're going to sit that whole flight as far away as you can, or maybe try to switch to a different seat. Well, it's easy to love the lovable, isn't it? It's hard to love the unlovable. You don't know what's going through other people's lives, though. Bob, you could be a grumpy mailman. But let's say that you were, and somebody just thought, oh, he's just the meanest mailman we've got. They might not know Bob lost his son. Maybe the person that you met that's grumpy, they lost their spouse last week. You don't know what's going on in other people's lives. Love them even if they seem unlovable, because they're still a person. Christ still died for them. Your conversation, your way of ordering your life and your love to them may win them to the Lord someday. For this is thankworthy, if a man for conscience toward God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. You ever suffered wrong? For what glory is it if, when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye take it patiently? Jim Landis will never forget your illustration on this. The boy does wrong and you're spanking him and he's just thanking you for conforming him to your image. No, he's not. He did wrong, you're spanking him. You're buffeted for your own faults. But when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently. This is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called. See, it's not just something that'll happen once in a while. You're called to suffer for Christ. You're called to take an abuse for him. Why? Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. He did no, who did no sin? Neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, turned back around and gave it right back to him. No, he didn't. He reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Sound anything about like the movie we watched the other night? Boy, he did everything that he could. At first, just to the letter of the law, and then he followed the spirit of the law, and still she just turned around and gave it to him. At first, you're feeling sorry for her, then at the end of the movie, you're feeling sorry for him. He threatened not, but committed himself to him that judges righteously. And here it is. Christ is the righteous judge, and in the end, he will make every wrong right. And when you go out here and speed or go through a stop sign, even though you don't answer to man right now for it, you as a Christian answer to God later for how you followed what he said to do. Submit yourself to the ordinance of man. When I came across this, it put a whole new light onto the everyday things that I do. The reason why am I doing it? Because we're fear-driven people. And we don't fear Christ, fear God. We don't fear judgment because it's not immediate. But we sure don't have our eyes on things of eternity. We've just got it on the now and now. And that's why we really don't obey God's word like we should. We have no concept of it, of eternity. Who his own body bear our sins... Who his own self bear our sins in his own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. For ye were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls.